You're listening to Unexpecting, the podcast bringing you real conversations from those of us who have suffered pregnancy and infant loss. With comfort and hope for the future, I'm your host, Ashley Bitterman. Today, I sit down with Julia, who takes me through her history of chronic illness and how it affected her pregnancy, ultimately resulting in a medical termination.
Julia, what was like your childhood and your upbringing like, and did religion play a role in your life?
Yeah, so my mom was very much like every Sunday. My parents are divorced, my biological father and mother, and my mom remarried when I was about 8. So I have a half brother, and we're 10 years apart, but he's like my brother. And
oh, cool.
I lived mostly with my stepfather and my mom growing up. But anyway, my mom had me, she was dating my father, but had me out of wedlock, and then also had my brother right before she got married to my stepfather. And there's a reason why I'm mentioning that, and I'll explain later. But every Sunday we went to church, and you know, she tried to instill like these great Christian values in me. And I am very spiritual as well, and very, I want to say Christian, but in the sense of like, I think there's a lot of biblical things and things with the religion that are need to be updated. That sounds really, really bad. Yeah. So we were a very like religious family growing up. And this, it was a really hard thing for me when I found out this happened, because my doctors advised me that I wouldn't be able to keep the baby healthfully, and I can get into that later. But knowing that I was going to have a medical termination, and telling my mom that was gonna rock her world, because there was a phase that my mom, I remember the conversation so poignantly. We were talking about abortion and just like Christianity and everything, and she firmly felt like even if a woman were to be, God forbid, raped, if the baby, there was some severe like life altering, debilitating, you're having that baby because you are a Christian. And
is that something that you also believed early on?
No, not at all. And my mom has gotten a lot more cultural, like just a lot more with the times, and I think that's honestly because I went to school in New York City. I went to Fashion Institute of Technology, and she was just thrown into an environment that of acceptance, thankfully. So the time came around to tell them, and they were very, very, very supportive of it, you know. But yeah, definitely religion has been a big factor in my upbringing and in my life, and impacted this, you know, journey a little bit too. So
I'm sure. Yeah, absolutely. I can imagine it would. And you also suffer from chronic autoimmune illnesses. Can you talk about a little bit about what those are, your history with it, and how far back those started playing a role in your life?
Yeah. So I was working at the time at Alice and Olivia, which was like my dream job. And I had worked priorly at like Macy's Bloomingdale's before that. And so I had just started this job, and I remember just being like feeling on top of the world, but it was a lot of work. And suddenly, like 2 months into working there, I was experiencing all these odd symptoms of like weird circulatory problems where I almost couldn't even like walk down the stairs in my walk up of my apartment building. Like my legs hurt so bad. And there would be points where my legs were completely purple. And I'm like, am I having a heart attack? Like I'm completely healthy. And nobody in my family has any like, you know, autoimmune disease or any type of chronic illness or things like that. So I was just so blown away, like no idea what was happening. I was seeing all these specialists too, like behind the scenes while working, and nobody could figure out what was happening. And it just kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then I started, you know, developing just horrendous anxiety and depression and just being like super fatigued all the time. And living in New York City, I wouldn't say is the necessarily the healthiest place to live. I think it's a really toxic, like intense environment. And so when you're working through something, you just get hit in the face with just the crap of New York as soon as you walk out the door. So I decided to move home for a few months and just like rest and try and find some specialists to figure out what was happening. So yeah, so May 2019, I actually discovered that I have a blood clotting disorder called antiphospholipid syndrome because I had a mini stroke. And yeah, and it happened literally out of nowhere. It happened as I was seeing like just all these doctors, and so I had a small blood clot pass through my brain like super quickly, and that's what caused it. And luckily, I am so grateful. I found, and I still see them to this day, like the most amazing hematologist, which is a blood disease doctor, and oncologist. And I've been under their care since 2019. So I was diagnosed with systemic lupus in June, which isn't full blown yet, but it's like, you know, the symptoms just keep kind of appearing and developing. And
how can these conditions affect a pregnancy? What are the risks to you? What are the potential risks to a baby?
So antiphospholipid syndrome is really interesting in the sense of many women. So it's mostly women that have it between like early ages of, I want to say maybe 25 to like mid 30s. And the reason why they find out they have it is because they unfortunately have a miscarriage. And there's no solidified research on what causes it. It's essentially your red blood cells view something in your cell as foreign. So it's attacking it, right? Producing blood clots. But they don't know what, there's no specific like why as to like why people get this. And it can lead to leukemia, lupus, and a few other different types of like autoimmune disease or cancers, and leads to like predisposition of a bunch of things. So I take Coumadin every single day to prevent the blood clotting, and have been advised like, you know, you probably won't be able to carry a baby, just certain things like, you know, my doctors have given me heads up on as time has gone on, just to, you know, educate myself on my body and whatnot. But they, I didn't know this, but there's some, and excuse me, I should know the actual term for this, but when you're taking heparin or Coumadin, or warfarin, which are blood thinners, there's a disorder if you do get pregnant, where it affects the development of the organs within a child. So the organs will develop, but what happens is it causes them not to grow past 6 weeks. And if you have been taking it and get pregnant, that's the biggest thing. So after the 6 weeks, the baby will not grow healthily. The organs like literally will not grow at all. And therefore you won't have a healthy pregnancy. And then on top of that, just having antiphospholipid syndrome alone was like a really high risk pregnancy thing where I would have had to be like monitored super closely. And again, you know, this was unplanned and everything, but yeah, so that was the biggest thing, was like the baby wasn't going to even develop healthily because of the medication I had been taking. And then on top of that, also my diagnosis as well.
Yeah, wow. When you were first told by a doctor that you may not be able to carry a pregnancy, what went through your mind when you first heard that?
Yeah, so that was like definitely something that rocked me for quite some time, you know, and feeling like not wanting to put myself out there to even meet like a potential partner, because it's like, you know, most people want to get married and have kids, and they have these ideas of how they want to share their lives together. And I went through a really weird depressive phase of like, well, who would want to be with somebody that's like super sick and have to deal with that their whole life? And then on top of it, like can't get pregnant. Like I have nothing to give to someone is essentially kind of the mindset I was suffering from for a long time. So, and the guy at the time that through all this was like, word for word, after I got my ultrasound confirming that I was pregnant, said, do not contact me unless it's funding the abortion. So that was that was the beginning.
Oh, my goodness.
The things that were said were so deliberately like evil or dark or manipulative to push me down the, to basically, excuse my French, cover his ass and like make sure that I was going to get an abortion and like he wasn't on the line for that. It didn't really hit me, everything, honestly, until probably like a week or two ago, because it was like such a fiasco. Like, okay, we got to like take care of this right away, because this is like a, you know, your health issues and everything. We really want to make sure like you're okay and there's no other risks happening. And then obviously the process of all of it, and then the healing. And now that I feel like my body's 90% healed and like getting there, it's like, I'm just here alone, you know? And
Sounds like immediately you did not get the support that you needed from probably the one person that you needed it from most, mm-hmm. and that you were being swayed to get an abortion. That was the only option. You went to the doctor, I imagine, when you found out you were pregnant. Was there another option, or were you strongly advised that this wouldn't be viable?
So I think there's like some legality in the sense of they can't tell you like you have to do this, but my doctor was like, you really need to have a medical termination, because as you progress in the pregnancy, and I was only, so when I had the termination, I was at 6 weeks. As the pregnancy were to continue, I would become sicker and sicker also, because it just, the risks out, there was like just really, it was not a good situation.
How do you process these two conflicting emotions? One, you just found out you're pregnant, which in itself is a miracle, because you originally thought this isn't even possible. And you also have to terminate the pregnancy.
So that's what I've been like since everything's kind of calmed from all just the chaos of like having to take care of things, is the biggest thing I've been struggling with lately. And that might have been like my only shot of ever having a baby, right? And I know if I were to talk to somebody or like a therapist or just a friend or anyone, they'd be like, that's not a realistic thing to think that, you know. But I do really struggle with that, you know. I think it's beautiful that I was able to even get pregnant, because I think the other thing too is like hearing for so long that was just not an option for me, and having to process that emotionally for so many years of like, this is not really in the cards for me. And then finding out like, wow, this is really happening. It's really tough. And then the other side of that I also struggle with right now is like, I feel so disappointed in myself and responsible, because I wasn't making a smart decision and affected something, another human, and I could have avoided this whole situation, you know. And I'm sure that many people struggle with that feeling too. But
how do you take the blame when you were told you couldn't get pregnant? This wasn't an option. So it's not like you could have had measures in place to prevent that, because as far as you were concerned, it wasn't even an option.
I think it more so goes back to probably just like I don't want to say my religious beliefs, because it's not necessarily tied to that, but just like who I am as a person. And I would love to be a mommy. You know, I would love to have a child more than anything in the world. And I just feel some disappointment and resentment against myself that this is what happened, you know. And it doesn't logically really make sense, but I think it's just emotionally just something that's been on my heart and mind, and just processing, working through that. And
that's completely understandable. I mean, you were going through life as if being a mom, at least having a biological child, wasn't in the cards for you. And now you were given a glimpse of it. So mm-hmm. it, of course you're thinking, now I could have been a mom and this was my exactly. chance. And it's so, of course you would be struggling with these types of emotions, because you were just presented, you know, it was a tease. You were shown like this beautiful platter and then it was taken away from you when right. before you didn't even know that it was there. So
exactly
that, yeah, that's really hard to have to deal with on a daily basis. What was the abortion process like for you?
So, oh my God, I was terrified of just like, because I am on blood thinners, there's so many, like when you go into surgery and you're taking blood thinners, there's like these 2-3, it depends on how strong it is, but this wait time for like the medication to ease out of your body, because the blood is so thin that like any, even just like scratching myself or comparing it to a major surgery, like they're like, you're going to literally bleed out and die because your blood is so thin. So I'm like having anxiety about this whole thing. And like, I am so blessed. I truly say, like, the doctors that I found and that I do see, I swear to God, are they're like my angels. And I spoke to them probably every single day at any time of the day for the 2.5 weeks between like starting the day I started the medical termination, like a week before that, prepping myself like emotionally, like, and just kind of through all the steps and all that. But you know, they made sure that everything was going to be okay. And so I saw physicians at Weill Cornell Medical in New York City, and I took the termination pill. So when I was in the office, I took the first one there. And then I actually stayed in a hotel close by to the hospital in the case there was just some type of an emergency upon taking like the second half of the medication. I'm not sure if you're aware of the medical termination pill, but there's like two different sets. One you take kind of under the advice of a doctor, and then the second one induces a period and you bleed and basically disperse like the tissue and blood clotting and everything in there. Thankfully, everything went okay. But the position I'm in now is that I have to keep seeing my OBGYN for ultrasounds, which is a weird thing for me still too. Like I close my eyes because I'm just like, I don't want to see an ultrasound machine.
Yeah.
Not that there's like anything happening, but it's just like such a trigger, you know.
Absolutely.
And they have to ensure that nothing weird, but like the tissue, you know, there's like different tissue that forms in the fetus and or around the fetus and all that. And what you're expelling, they need to make sure that all these things are, and I had passed the pregnancy. Okay. I'm totally, you know, everything went well, but the rest of the stuff within my body needs to flush out, and they have to be certain that it is. Otherwise, if it sits and festers inside my body, it can create really horrendous cancer. And there's no risk, right? They don't think like there's anything weird happening or like all this extra stuff going on, but it's just like ensuring that everything is like good to go. So I am very thankful that the process was I was supported fully by my doctors, you know, checking on me. My doctor called me or was texting me when he was on a flight to Los Angeles to make sure I was okay. Oh, I'm like, wow. I'm fine. Like,
that's just really nice to hear.
Yeah. Like just actually, you know, genuinely. And I am so grateful for that.
So this is obviously a devastating loss. It's not only the loss of a child, a baby, but it's also this loss of this vision or future that you got a glimpse of. Is this something that you've shared with family or friends, and how is it received?
Yeah, so I mean, I definitely talk a lot about this with my family. And I'm so grateful that I have their support and openness to even have these conversations of, I'm sure you can relate, just like the array of just feeling one way and feeling a different way and just all these mismatched, all like crazy emotions about it all. And I've only told, I think, maybe like two friends, because I don't know how to process this whole thing myself still. And not that I feel like it's shunned upon to share, but I think I'm still working through it a lot and don't know how to verbalize certain things, because I emotionally don't even know how I'm feeling about it. And that's the other reason why I thought this was such a beautiful thing you're doing, because there's nothing really out. Yes, you can talk to a therapist, right? And or somebody close to you that's gone through a similar situation, but to have a community or to hear other stories that are women that have experienced this type of thing, it's hard socially to communicate about this, right? Most people can speak to their family. Maybe you have some friends, your husband, your fiance, your partner, your boyfriend. But other than that, it's like, can't really, I feel like society is like, you can't really go out and be like, oh, like I had an abortion and I'm really struggling. You know, I haven't told my friends and I haven't told certain people and I haven't opened up about it, because it's such a topic that is almost hidden in our culture. And absolutely. Completely hidden. And it engulfs an array of every type of emotion, every type of situation, you know, and then people's viewpoints politically and also religiously have a factor in it as well. So there's so much that goes into it. And instead of, you know, opening up and not being faced with potential judgment, there's just nothing that you can just speak openly, right, about to other people that have gone through this experience and aren't going to judge you and aren't going to put those archetypes on you. They're not a therapist that are like objective to this. Like, these are people that have also been through something like this. Like, this isn't even the right word, because all these situations are completely just different in themselves. But I think that what you're doing is truly beautiful and much needed in the world, you know? So I just really want to thank you for creating this podcast and being so open and brave to talk about all this, because you're going to help a lot of people.
Oh, that's so, so amazing to hear. I so appreciate your kind and supportive words. They really mean a lot to me. And you're absolutely right. This is not, what I keep saying is, this is normal, but it's not normalized. And my goal is to normalize this. I mean,
yeah.
When people have a baby, they go out and they tell strangers that they've just
right.
Had a baby. They get on a work call and they're like, my wife had a baby, or we just, you know, but you wouldn't get on a right. call and be like, I just had an abortion. That's just
exactly. Yeah.
It's just not what people talk about. And because of that, people feel like they're the only ones going through it when it happens to them. And people aren't realizing that this is so common, and we need to talk about it more. We need to normalize the normal because it's not going to go away, unfortunately. And it is a devastating, horrible, painful thing to go through, and no one should feel like they're going through it alone. I mean, it's wonderful that when the beautiful things happen and you bring a baby into the world, you experience that and get to celebrate it with other people. But you should also get that opportunity to feel the same type of support when you go through something difficult.
Right, right. And to that point also, you know, there's people and couples that talk about, like, you know, fertility or trying for so long, and that's, they're able to have an open conversation about that, or, you know, maybe things didn't work out, but they're still trying. And, but, you know, when it comes to, okay, you become pregnant and then, you know, you're faced with this situation and what to do, that part is kept closed off. And there's, you know, I do believe, like, there's an ode to privacy and wanting, you know, it's okay not to share, want to share. It's okay to want to be private.
Yes.
But it shouldn't have a connotation if, I don't know, you know, it's brought up, or if people are asking and you say it in conversation, like, you know, there shouldn't be any, like, prejudgments on that person, because it is part of life, like you said, and it doesn't make you any less of a person or any different of somebody that's, you know, trying to conceive and not being successful. Like, you know, the flip side to that, and it's so sad to say, is other things can happen once you become pregnant too, where you're faced with having to make this decision, and it's really difficult. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And I've found that because this isn't something people are used to talking about, or people are not comfortable talking about, people don't know what to say. This is a personal experience, but people don't know what to say when they hear, I've had an abortion, or I lost a baby. What do you think is the best way for the people that love you to show their support?
It's funny. I've thought about that too. And like, another reason why I haven't been as open is, like, it's not that I don't want the other person I'm sharing it with to feel uncomfortable, because that's, you know, okay, that's just like a human reaction. But because they maybe haven't been through it themselves, they're just, like, unknowledgeable, or don't, like, you just, your brain isn't wired or doesn't know how to even process correctly, like, what to say. And so then it's like, okay, that can be misrepresented as, like, that person's mad or upset or has emotions about what you went through. And so that's a tough question, because I think it goes back to, like, society and just having this openness and ability to talk about this and have people realize, like, it's not this crazy evil, like, there's so many situations that fall into why that somebody might have to have this happen. And I do think, you know, it's okay if somebody meets your openness with, like, maybe not the most accurate answer. Like, you know, I think you have to take it with a grain of salt, because maybe that person has absolutely no experience and they don't know, like, the right way to handle it. But if somebody's listening to this and, you know, they're thinking about, like, oh, hey, maybe my friend might open up to me one day or about something they went through and this could be it, I think there's a sense of just, like, first maybe asking, like, how are you spiritually, emotionally? Like, that, the first thing you can kind of, instead of saying, oh, I'm so sorry, because I almost feel like too, that has, like, a weird undertone to it sometimes of, like, what the person's really getting at when they say they're sorry. But more like, how are you? What can I do for you? Like, you are supported. You are loved. At the end of the day, obviously, you care about this person. And so that's, put the focus on that.
Honestly, I think one of the best responses I got was from a friend of mine who reached out and said, Ashley, I want to help you. please tell me what you need from me. Do you want me to reach out to you more? Do you not want me to reach out to you? Do you want to talk about it? Do you not want to talk about it? I will support you in whichever way is helpful to you, but just tell me how I can show up for you because I love you and I want to be there for you. And that meant so much to me because every person is going to process things differently in their own way and grieve and deal however they want. And that message meant a lot in that they will do what I need from them at that time.
I completely agree with that. I think it's like that goes back to the beauty of friendships and family, right? That's the true core of it all and like why we're here and what the focus should really be, you know, making sure that person is okay and if you can help in any way, you know, no matter what. So yeah, I think that's really beautiful that she said that.
Yeah. Exactly. And although I got my fair share of beautiful, supportive, compassionate messages, I got a few messages calling me a murderer, telling me I was disgusting and I never deserved to be a mother. What would you say to people that would call you a murderer, disagree with the decision?
So it's, yeah. So, last week I saw this message on Facebook of a, you know, someone I know speaking about pregnancy and a lot of it has to go back to like what's going on in the news right now with the heartbeat bill and all that. And they were speaking to that and saying, you, no matter what, have absolutely no authority to ever take a life away that's a baby inside of you because that baby was created by God and you have no authority or responsibility over that child. That's God's child. And you are never to have an abort. Like you have no say in this, you know, it's God's divine creation. So that really rocked me a little bit because I am. And also, you know, I'm religious too. And that is, you know, in the Christian religion that, you know, abortion is looked down upon and it's not good. But the thing that really sucks, and I first faced this with my health issues that I was going through, is that no one really gives a shit until they go through it. Excuse my French.
Yes.
And no one really understands or tries to be on the other side of the grass and understand you unless they go through it or unless there's some type of like conviction as to why they're trying to. And the biggest enlightenment for me and realizing that whole thing was when COVID happened, right? Like you always hear about all these, our healthcare system or people suffering from all these diseases, they can't afford their medication, they can't even take care of themselves. And then COVID hit and people were like, holy crap, wow, this is true. Wow, people can get really sick. Like just, oh, wow, there's an enlightenment of like all this stuff and suffering and things in the world. But anyway, I think that's a sad thing about just being human is either you have a big heart and you care and you want to try and understand and learn, you know, about what the person went through or their story, or you have your own self preconceived notions or your own viewpoints on something and you don't have the openness to try and honestly just listen with open ears. Look, everybody's can have their own opinion at the end of the day, right? But I think that there's something to be said that you can be respectable and have the ability to be a little bit vulnerable and listen to somebody else's story without shoving then your take on what they went through. You know, there are people out there that due to religious beliefs or X, Y, and Z, they will always tell you like, I do not believe in abortion. I cannot, like, this is just shunned upon from my family. But there needs to be in humanity more of a ability of listening with open ears and meeting the person where they are and respecting them and having a compassion and empathy for what they went through, I think is what I'm looking for.
Exactly. I think you don't have to agree with somebody to have compassion for them.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's what is unfortunately missing from some people. And I think you're also absolutely right that people don't care. And people really just don't understand until they go through it themselves. So it's just not possible for them to relate. And it makes it easier for them to push their opinions because they don't understand what you're going through.
Exactly. Yeah, there's no knowledge there. So it's easy for them to state how they feel or what they think because what they think is truth, you know, in their minds.
I've heard multiple times through our conversation, you saying you want to be a mom, you'd be a great mom. And I want that for you too. Is this something that you think about for the future? Will you look into being able to carry a pregnancy or, you know, another method of getting your way to motherhood?
Yeah. So I've, you know, with the few people I've opened up to, who I'm really blessed to have in my life, they obviously we've had conversations and they're like, just because maybe you can't have a healthy pregnancy doesn't mean you can't be a mom one day. You know, there's so many kids out there that need loving families and loving moms and dads. And, you know, no matter what you will be like, if that's what you want, you will be a mom one day and you'll be a great mom. I struggle with it. I go back and forth between like having just negative feelings against my own body of like being mad at my body and disliking it. And that goes back to like my autoimmune diseases and things like that. But I don't know. I struggle with that. I think that's another part of kind of just the state I'm in right now of reflecting on things. Like, is it really responsible or right to try and get pregnant again after I went through this? And, you know, if I go through the same outcome again, how am I going to feel then? You know, so I think it's just more so above me and a conversation I would have to have with my doctors, and also to just the general state of my health at the time, if I were interested in trying to, you know, conceive to become pregnant and try and whatnot. But yeah, the chapter I'm in right now is just like a lot of feelings of feeling like I wasn't responsible or was being foolish. And so, yeah, I struggle with the concept of like me personally carrying a baby and me being pregnant. But it by no means does it affect, you know, my desire to want to be a parent one day. And I'm sure that will happen. You know, as life brings me down the road, I don't think just because you know, you can't have a child in your body does not mean at all that you can't be an incredible parent. And, you know, my stepfather is a great example of that. I mean, I'm not his biological child, but he's my dad, you know, it's hopefully in the cards for me down the road of just being a mommy. And that hasn't changed at all.
I'm glad to hear your head is in a good place for that, because there are different ways to get the title of mom, and one way or another, it sounds like you'll get there.
For sure.
The pain, the grief is not something that just goes away. So what brings you comfort? What resources have you found helpful for dealing with your experience?
I'll be 100% open right now. I'm not doing the best job at like being active in my own self-care and own emotional health right now to make sure that I'm taking active steps in processing all this. I think that I go through moments like right now, I'm shocked I can have this conversation and I'm okay. But I think it's like, I kind of was working all day, so my mind's like in this different mindset. But when I'm by myself, of course, when I'm doing something just like mindlessly, or I don't have all these plans or all these things to do that are like consuming my mind and my focus, I do really struggle with it. And I think about it every second. And what I'm thinking about is a million different feelings and a million different things. You know, it's difficult feeling alone too, you know, not being able to share with like people I talk to every day. Like they have no idea what I'm going through. And I think the biggest thing that I am struggling with, and what I'm really, really trying to focus on bettering right now, is so obviously my health, what I've talked about with you through this whole thing, like my autoimmune disease and all that's consumed my life to an unbelievable degree the past 3 years. Like I literally, it's kind of like all I do. And this happened. And now that I'm basically healed from everything, I still can look in the mirror and tell, like, you know, I was pregnant, you know, you have the puffiness and the extra weight, and I'm still getting cramps, which is normal. And, but it's just like, it's just me alone dealing with it. Right. Mm-hmm. And a reminder of all of what happened. I've been trying to take care of my body better and not be conscious of my body in the sense of like judging it, or like thinking, looking at myself and being like, you're here because you were pregnant. It's more so like, what can I do to make my body feel good today? Like, how can I make my body healthier, or just start my day off in a better way? Like, what are some healthy decisions? And having those overarching, more broad types of like self-care things have been helping me, because I am processing the really intense personal dark things that I'm struggling with this. But sometimes I feel like too, with social media and just our culture, there's such this like pressure of like, you know, doing the work and like, you know, getting over it or working through this and that. And it's like, it doesn't just work through it and go away. Mm-hmm. And it becomes so overwhelming, you know, sometimes, and it's like depressing. And so instead I'm like, what are just some things, little tiny, maybe even unrelated specifically to that, that I can do that will help me feel better emotionally or physically? And then those little baby steps then bring me back to like, you know what, I'm strong right now to, or I feel okay right now to process this, or like, this just popped into my mind, but like, I'm going to be okay. I did find a really beautiful, specific group to women that have gone through things that we've gone through. And the name of it is Avail, AVAIL, and it's a free resource to anyone. And, it's just like this kind of like a Zoom chat session, and you can talk about anything you want. You cannot talk at all. And it's basically counselors that have also gone through abortion or similar experiences. And there's no like overarching religion or like focus. It's just truly just for support. So I just started that last week, and it was really beautiful.
There is no roadmap guidebook for how to navigate this. Mm-hmm. And everybody is going to deal differently. So there's right. not like a one size fits all solution. But I do really like what you said about what is one thing I can do today for my body or for myself to get me through today. What gives you hope for the future?
Hope. So I think all the things, the nasty things I've said on this conversation about social media, I have always said that one of the most beautiful is how you can connect with someone you've never met your whole life, or stumble upon something and read it or see it and realize that you aren't alone in the world and there's someone out there that's gone through something similar, and all the self-judging or all the internal emotions that we all struggle with, you finally, you know, when you connect with this person or you see this on social media, you get this uplift, this pressure lifted of like the beauty of there is someone else out there that's gone through what you've gone through, and you'll be okay, and you're not alone. And I think that's what gives me hope, is meeting people like you. Is life happens, everything happens for a reason. I've always believed that corny line, but it is true. And I know that this, you know, sad situation has happened for a reason. And it's, what can I do with that? How can I help other people? The darkness. I say this now and I'll be like crying later over a movie and wine or something, but you need to go through darkness to get to light, right? I think it's important to always remind ourselves that even through the really unbelievably dark times, you will get to the light. And once you're there, maybe you'll look back and you won't understand why it happened, but the person you've become will be different and be in a place to, you know, help others get through similar dark times too.
That's so beautifully said. And it sounds like you have just a mature, rational, optimistic outlook, which can be very hard to have after going through something that you've experienced. And I appreciate that for sure, to see that it is possible to look ahead in an optimistic way and not just dwelling on the past. Mm-hmm. So that's encouraging for me as well. And you know, what I'm telling people that I've talked to through this experience is, I hope you know I am a resource. Part of this is therapeutic for me. Part of this is helping other people understand that this happens. It's normal and you're not alone. And to connect us, you know, we have experienced something, unfortunately, that helps us relate to each other, and we exist, but they're typically not in your circle. So if you need somebody to reach out to, and you know, you're just having a bad day or something, I'm happy to be that resource, because I understand the feeling, and I get those moments where you just, some days are good days and some days are really bad days, and I get it. Yeah. And I'm happy to be that resource.
Yeah, you've done a lot for a lot of people already. So you're a beautiful person. And I said it 20 times, but I think this is going to be something really empowering and beautiful for a lot of people that are going through this situation.
Thank you. I do hope so. And Julia, thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me, share your story, and connect with me. It's been really nice talking to you. I wish you the best and health.
Thank you.
Happiness, stay good. And, you know, one step at a time, it sounds like you're on the right track, but there's no rush. Take your time, be patient with yourself. And just like you said, you have to go through the dark to get through the light. You'll get there, but do it on your terms, not because something on Instagram says pick yourself up and get moving. Right. You know, it's you got to listen to yourself. You got to listen to your body and do what's best for you.
For sure. And likewise to you, keep going and what you're doing. In those dark moments, just realize, you know, that you aren't alone, and you do have this whole community too that is there for you, and everything's going to be okay. And I really appreciate you. I really, really do. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Unexpecting. Join our community by following us on Instagram at Unexpecting Podcast. If you'd like to share your story on our show, email us at unexpectingpodcast@gmail.com. You can support this podcast by visiting anchor.fm/unexpecting. Be kind to yourself. Be patient. And remember, today's teardrops are tomorrow's rainbows. Take care.